Bacon.
Hey, Beaver, the place to get help is on Channel 9, and I'll do a 10-5 about that motion lotion all over this here slab.
I don't know what that means, but I don't think you should be saying stuff like that.
Keep the shiny side up and the dirty side down.
Okay, whoa. Okay, look. It's just Saturday mornings from 8 until 10. Check it out. Making Bacon. CFRC 101.9.
Idle talk is a nuisance. Get out there and do it to it. Love and kisses.
A listener-supported radio station, it means that people can get
daily, every day, a different way of looking at the world, not just what the corporate media want you to see, but a different picture, different understanding, but a different picture, a different understanding. Not only can you hear it, but you can participate in it. You can add your own thoughts, you know, and you can learn something and so on. Well, that's the way, people become human, you know. That's the way you become human participants in a social and political system.
Welcome to Songwriters from Here and Away. This is the show that focuses on new and established songwriters from Atlanta, Canada, across Canada, and around the world. Hello, and thank you for tuning in to Songwriters from Here and Away for another episode of music from across Canada. We have lots of local Nova Scotia music this time around, some from Ontario as well, and other spots. We're going to feature Mr. Jeff Arsenault. Jeff has been on the show before. We did a live concert with him once a couple of years ago. We have his new album, and it's a fabulous Blues Roots album, which is the place where he does best. Not only is he a great drummer, but he's a guitar player and songwriter, and that's what he's doing on this album, and he has some stellar musicians with him. I had a quick chat with him on Zoom, and I'm going to play that. First, though, we're going to play a track. This one is called Pearl River.
On Pearl River up to Diamond Head. stone. So clear is that water below, as white as bone. Now I'm haunted, I still shiver with the rising idea on Pearl River up to Diamond Head.
Thanks for dialing into Songwriters from Here and Away, and I'm going to play some tracks. Just listened to a few of the tracks off the new album. What's the name of the album?
Called Hired Hand.
Hired Hand. So where did that come? Where did the title come from?
Well, it comes from a song that's on the record that I had written years and years ago, which actually was recorded on a Hot Toddy album.
Oh yeah,
and it was I believe it was the first song that I sang on a record. So it was Tom Measley, Tom Swift, Joel LeBlanc, and Bill Stevenson, and myself doing a body record. And we decided, we were just in the kitchen, and I played them this song, that song, and they really dug it and decided to put it on the record. And so the song is, you know, I'm basically been a hired hand all my life.
Right. Sideman playing for all sorts of people.
All that stuff, man. Yeah. And whatever side little labor jobs, if ever, you know, if I ever had to get them, which I have. And just, you know, the wolves at the door kind of thing all the time and stuff like that.
And here is that song, Hired Hand.
Just a hired hand, keeping the wolves from my door. Oh, I'm just a hired hand, keeping the wolves from my door. Now all they've been fed, just a hired hand, keeping the wolves from my door. Oh, I got love I can't contain, a door to knock and a phone to ring. And there are those who want everything. Well, I got love I can't contain. Now I don't know why I ain't been caught, but they're so hungry they just won't starve. I sold them a bone, I sold them a rock. Now I don't know why I ain't been. Just a hired hand, keeping the wolves from my door. Now all they've been fed, they gotta eat more and more. I'm just a hired hand. I hit a phone howling at my door. I know they're closing in, I can't hold them back anymore. Just a hiding, keeping the wolves from my door. I'm just a hiding, keeping the wolves from my door. Now all even fair, they gotta eat more. Just a hired hand, keeping the wolves from my door. Keeping the wolves from my door. Keeping the wolves from my door.
So it's fun going back to old tunes. This one is a solo, right?
It is solo.
Yeah.
Well, I mean
you wrote it by yourself. Yeah. Do you do any co-writing? Much?
I've only written one song, and that was with Ray Bonneville.
Yeah.
And it was actually it's a title track from one of his records, which is called Easy Gone.
We have a episode with Ray and you at the Carlton. It's great.
Yeah.
He's a talent for sure. And I love what you're doing with this album. It's got a great vibe. Where did you record it?
At Stonehouse Sound in Mahone Bay. John Adams is the engineer. He owns the joint. My humble opinion, I think he's one of the best. It's one of the best, man. And Glenn Pascha, who is the keyboard player and producer on the record. He lives in Mahone Bay as well. He is Bonnie Raitt's keyboard player.
Yeah, he's not. I imagine he's out on the road a fair bit.
He's out on the road a fair bit. So it took some time. We're all busy doing different things. So it took just over a year to complete the record.
Right.
And there's so many great players on it, you know.
Yeah. It sounds wonderful. And of course, Glenn's a lovely player. His touch on the keyboard is wonderful. His organ.
He added. He's a big part of the record. Big part.
Sure. And on the record, you're doing the drums as well as the guitar, the main acoustic guitar stuff.
Yeah, I recorded most of the tunes, guitar and vocal. I have an acoustic guitar that's mic'd, but then there's, I think, three songs that are my old Guild electrified Guild put through an amp, an old tube amp off Glenn's.
Nice. Yeah. Nice. Yeah.
And then there's Joey Landreth on slide on some tracks, Colin Linden playing on some tracks, and Kevin Bright playing on some tracks.
You can't get better than that, Jeff. I'm really, really happy for you, man.
Yeah.
Of course, maybe folks don't know some of those people, but Joey Landreth, the Landreth brothers, right? And you've got, that's good. Good players. That's really nice.
Yeah, man. And Amy Helm is singing on one of them. Levon's daughter singing on.
I heard that.
Beautiful. Yeah, Glenn's doing a lot of backups. Matt Anderson and Chris Kirby are doing some backups on a couple of tunes. And Tom Easley's on a lot of bass, stand-up bass on the record. Mike Farrington's on one. And Zev Katz is on, I think, three or four. He's out of New York, friend of Glenn's.
I think it's time for another song from the album. This is Angels Share or the Devil's Take.
Is the angel sure or the devil's take? Is the angel share or the devil's take? Take
ship or the devil's take. It's right there. I got nothing to declare. I ain't stealing no contract. I'm just looking for a deal that's fair.
Is it 12 tracks on the album?
12 tracks.
Yeah, 12, yeah.
It was going to be only 11, but Glenn insisted that I put on the last tune, the Cajun Soul song, and I'm glad I did.
Well, we'll play that. We'll play it right now.
Okay.
It keeps me in control. Well, she is a sure thing with every roll. Now I roll with my baby, my Cajun soul. For a true direction when the needle shakes, degrees of correction have all but escaped. I call for my captain on this riverboat, rowing my baby, my Cajun soul. Crossed many borders, played many hands. When I reach the delta, I hope to understand. This river we traveled is so very old. Now I'm just a player looking for gold. It's just that I can feel her keeps me mighty sharp. Now I had the good sense to stay on board and roll with my baby, my Cajun soul. Across many borders, played many hands. When I reach the delta, I hope to understand. Travel is so very old. Now I'm just a player looking for gold. Cause I'm holding with nothing on my sleeve. I'm playing my hand and I ain't gonna fold. Rolling with my baby, my Cajun soul. Crossed many borders, played many hands. When I reach the delta, I hope to understand. This river we've traveled is so very old. Now I'm just a player looking for gold.
looking for gold.
It's, I like how the album has a, it has a feel through it and a sound through it. It's, it doesn't go too far outside this way or too far outside that way, like, but it sits right in the pocket and it's perfect for your, for what you deliver. When you play live now, are you going to try to duplicate that wherever you can?
Well, as much as I can. I hope to do some, well, I got, I'm just hustling as many gigs as I can, whether that be with a band,
right,
or solo, or with a three-piece or a duo, mm-hmm. you know.
I think you should be the opening act for Matt Anderson, because you play with Matt.
I should probably give you a real. I'll work on that.
Yeah, yeah, I'll tag him in this. I better send that request to him.
Yeah.
What else are you doing? You're building things? Are you doing much kayaking? I know you do a lot of kayaking and you teach kayaking even.
I've been focusing on, I haven't been building or that for a few months. I've been focusing on this, getting this record finished.
Sure.
Trying to hustle the best I can. I'm not great at it online and getting gigs, reaching out to festivals and labels and all that kind of stuff. I'm getting great response. And I'm also got a book that is going to be published that I found a publisher who wants to publish my drawings.
I saw that.
Yeah, yeah. So I've been getting all that stuff together with some text for the drawings. And so I've been, that's all I've been doing really.
Great. Right. Yeah. Well, it takes a lot of planning. It's like putting anything together, like an album or a book. There's all the stuff that people don't see. They don't see the bits and pieces behind the scene, you know.
For sure.
10 times more. It's like the iceberg. So
yeah.
Well, good on you. Right. When do you think that's coming out?
I think I signed the contract in like November. Within the year, open by the summer.
Let's keep in touch. Let me know when you've got more tunes coming out and we'll see you online wherever.
Great.
Okay.
Thanks, Rob. Okay. Cheers, man.
I got a job.
That was Jeff Arsenault off the album Hired Hand, and that was Gravedigger. And you can find Jeff online at jeffarsenault.ca. That's GEOFFARSENAULT.ca. This is where I get to tell you about our website, sfhaa.ca, sfhaa.ca. There are links to the live shows that we do, all the podcasts that we've done over the last 2 or 3 years, and more about workshops and songwriting. We'd love to have you there. Please do follow us, all the social media stuff. Your support means a lot to us, but more so to the musicians who you are supporting by listening. Thank you. Give us a vote or do all that stuff. We're going to take a short pause. We'll be right back.
Did you know that New Leaf Link offers day programming for adults with developmental disabilities? We serve families in Kingston and South Frontenac. Our program focuses on arts, healthy living, and community connections, including summer camp. New Leaf Link's caring staff and talented instructors provide a place for everyone to learn together and build friendships. If you or someone you know would like to join our program, please visit newleaflink.ca for more details. Together, we can grow, connect, and belong.
Your true friend loves you just as you are.
Partners in Mission Food Bank could not exist without the loyalty, dedication, and support of volunteers, some of whom have been with us for over 30 years. Our team of volunteers consists of individuals who continually devote both their time and skills on a regular basis in an effort to make a positive impact on hunger and the food needs of the community. Volunteering has no age limits. Your commitment and energy is enough. It is a great way to make new friends and contribute to your community. Partners in Mission Food Bank volunteers provide essential services in many ways, including assembling daily hampers, sorting food donations, breaking down and portioning bulk items, packing eggs into cartons, keeping the warehouse safe and clean, and providing helpful input to other volunteers and staff. Interested in volunteering with Partners in Mission Food Bank? Please call our volunteer coordinator at 613-544-4100.
Down the short set of stairs, join me, Grim, in the basement for my working knowledge of indie, experimental, post-punk, and electronic, every Wednesday from 10 until 11 p.m. on CFRC 101.9 FM. Get ready to press record.
You're listening to CFRC 101.9 FM, your campus community radio station, broadcasting to you since 1922.
Welcome. You're listening to CFRC 101.9 FM. My name is Cindy. I'm here every Monday at 10:30. Yes, if you're a longtime listener from when I actually used to have my show on CFRC here on Thursdays at 5:30, I moved here. I'm in this time slot. I'm very excited. It's so nice to be here in the morning on a Monday. I don't know why. I'm just excited about it. It's the second show. The first show went really well, and so I think that's why I'm jazzed and pumped to be here. Anyway, so welcome to Absolutely Frivolous. If you're new to my show, I'm surprised, actually, because I've been doing it for 22 years, soon to be 23 years, and it's just a comedy. I'm not funny. Stuff I put on the air is funny. Myself, I just try my best. That's all I do. But I do play a variety of different things, mostly stand-up. I try to find very funny stand-up for you. And I also try to bleep things. So in advance of the next two pieces that I will be playing, as always, I like to say I apologize if I haven't bleeped something because I was laughing so hard when I was editing, or if the topic itself may be a little bit offensive to you. Again, CFRC apologizes. I apologize. It's not our intent here at the radio station to offend anyone. We are trying to entertain, to inform, to just make the world a better place. Honestly, that's, I think, why we're here at CFRC and why we've been doing it for more than 100 years. To be honest with you, I think that's our goal. It should be our mission statement, to make the world a better place. But regardless, so if we have accidentally or unintentionally offended you, we apologize. So I've done my very best. I have two comedians coming up, Sindhu V and Maria Bamford, both of them very, very funny women. I think you'll get a kick out of them for sure. But first, I want to talk about our call out for Radio Queen's University. Our board of directors is inviting applications from Queen's University faculty and staff to fill two board positions starting in September of this year. So if you work here at Queen's, go check out cfrc.ca and all the information about joining our board of directors for Radio Queen's University. We are, of course, like I said, a really old radio station. We celebrated our centennial in October 2022. We are the second oldest radio station here in Canada and one of the longest running broadcasters globally. You can learn about our long history, of course, like I said, either on their website, cfrc.ca, or you can go to Queen's University Archives. They have an online exhibit as well. We are a not-for-profit, volunteer-driven community hub for arts and entertainment, creativity and discourse, news and information. We both produce and present music, arts, and news programs, provide meaningful opportunities for all campus and Kingston community members to participate in these endeavors. And we serve Queen's University and the greater Kingston community at large by supporting campus and local groups through direct promotion of their creative performances, through community events, through initiatives, and our services. All of that is on our website, but you can also give us a call, 613-533-2121, and talk to any of our very knowledgeable staff and find out more about the station and about joining the board of directors if you like. It's not until September, but I encourage people to apply now. There is a deadline, and I think it's important to fill these positions. I no longer work at Queen's, otherwise I might actually consider doing it. But of course, I'm super busy, so I don't know why I say these things. I always take on too much. But let's go ahead and let's do some comedy, shall we? Play some lovely comedy for you. Sindhu V, like I said, is up later. She's going to talk about parenting and marriage. But we're going to start with Maria Bamford, a longtime stand-up who is humongously popular and very, very funny woman. She's going to talk about how her co-worker hates her. So please enjoy here on Absolutely Frivolous and CFRC 101.9 FM.
Hello, beautiful flowers of Los Angeles. Hey, like most Americans, I would like to help others while being televised. I'd like to go to an area of the world where they really need my help. Like, we're here in sub-Saharan Africa because people sometimes have to walk tens of hundreds of miles for food, water, and basic medical care. And that's why we've chosen this village for an extreme makeover. Tell me, Mobutu, how does life feel as a blonde?
Well, my husband didn't even recognize me, and now when I go to the aid truck and fight other women for flour, I feel more confident.
I love my country. Maybe that's because I'm white and rich. Things have been really working out for me. I'm starting to think of what I would get done if I were to get something done, plastic surgery-wise. And I think, I don't know if you could see it, but I think I would get the part of my brain removed that cares about what other people think. Yeah. And then I like to get my hands replaced with suction cups. Okay. So, hey, have you ever had somebody at work who hates you and you can't figure out why? Here at work who hates you. Do you remember their name? Yeah. What was their name? Bill, Laura. Bill, Laura, Cynthia? That is so like them, Bill, Laura, and Cynthia. They're so stupid. I used to work this girl, Vinette, and we started on the wrong foot. I asked her where she was from. She said, Glendale, California. I said, oh, that's supposed to be really nice. She said, yeah, it is. Are we fighting now? Because, girlfriend, I will throw down. And she stopped talking to me. Even though I'm a friendly person, I kept talking to her, even though talking to her was like shouting to the wind of an angry desert that shows no mercy even to the benevolent armadillo. Every morning I'd be like, good morning, Vinette. Well, on that note for lunch, can I get you anything? Well, TGIF, have a great weekend. Now, I know Vinette didn't like me personally because she would talk to anybody else about anything.
Hey, Vinette, we got a package here for you.
My cat got out this weekend, and she got as far as the front walk, and she looks up at me like, what? And I'm like, you know what?
Vinette, why won't you tell me the wonderful cat story? I did eventually get her to talk about me, though, which was really almost as satisfying.
Someone keeps leaving a full-length nude poster of David Hasselhoff in the color copier.
It's me, Vinette. It's me.
Someone went in the kitchen and laminated all the cocoa packets together.
Me again, Vinette. Me again.
Someone is always in the unisex bathroom singing Spanish folk songs.
De colores, de colores, he visto los campos de la primavera. Ay, 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 ay!
And I'm sure we'd have become great friends had I not been fired for chasing her around the copy room with two staple removers, screaming, we must atone for the toner! We must atone for the toner!
I think, does anyone here have a poor credit history? It's okay. It's a safe space. I really think before giving me a credit card, they really should have given me a math test. Like a series of story problems. Question number one. If Maria works as a comedian for $100 a week, but spends $20 a day on hair scrunchies, okay, how many years will it take for her to pay off a Taco Bell gordita she bought in 1992? Question number two. If Maria's boyfriend is in a folk band, but he only smokes pot every other day, what percentage of the rent will he be able to contribute? Yeah. I thought 50%, but the answer is zero. It is zero. If Maria moved to Hollywood at the age of 24, in order to become a TV superstar, and at the age of 35, has only succeeded in getting her cable television turned off. What fraction of a dream will have died? That's a trick question. So you gotta factor in my unsinkable sense of confidence, which compounds interest daily. All right. I did just turn 35. Anybody here aging? No? All right. I don't know about you guys, but I feel like every year gets better. Every year I figure more stuff out, get my life all good. I can't wait till I'm freaking 90. Just rolling in my wheelchair and my pink terry cloth jumpsuit, wrapped in my fanny pack where I keep my baked potato-sized dog. Being like, tell me something I don't know, player. There's good times up ahead, is what I'm trying to say.
Well, I'll leave you with a song. That's right, I also sing, can you believe it? All this talent in one sweet, sweet little package. It's a old American classic. Join in if you do know the words. Okay. Oh, MacDonald had a pterodactyl, E-I-E-I-O, with a... Here and a... Okay, you get the idea. All right, thanks so much, you guys. Have a great night. Thank you very much.
Since its inception in 2022, CFRC Power Plays has become the number one destination for all things Queens football.
And that is a touchdown for the Gales!
With over 50 million lifetime views, CFRC Power Plays is the defining voice in Queens football coverage.
Looking for Nico Cuomo! Cuomo, my goodness! Nico Cuomo with a touchdown!
Follow us today on Instagram at CFRC Power Plays, your number one spot for rock solid football action.
Did you recognize that sound? That's the sound of a healthy, well-cared-for cat. I truly hope you've been lucky enough to hear that sound before. The feral cat population around Kingston and the surrounding areas has grown considerably over the last few years. And thanks to organizations like Kendra's Community Kitties, these feral cats are being fed, medically cared for, spayed, neutered, flea treated, dewormed, given winter shelters, and placed in loving homes whenever possible.
Hundreds of these special animals have been rescued by Kendra, and many of these wonderful felines are purring right now, safe and healthy.
But rescuing and rehoming feral cats isn't easy. It requires an enormous amount of time and effort, and there are a few ways you can help.
You can donate to Kendra's Community Kitties on their website, kckitties.com. Even a small amount will help pay for medication, spay and neutering procedures, and food and supplies to keep these felines sheltered and healthy in the cold winters or extreme heat of the summer. Because some of these kitties are not socialized, Kendra has committed herself to provide 22 dishes of food with fresh water every day, 365 days a year, to six feral colonies. Food prices have increased significantly, so donations of food and money are always needed. Funding assists with the process of finding homes for these cats as well, as it takes time and money to find the right individual or family to be matched with the right kind of cat. You can become a foster family for our feline friends. Go to kckitties.com and learn how you can care for and love a cat or even a family of kittens until they can be moved into their forever homes. At the colonies, Kendra plants the seeds of trust and socializes the feral felines when she brings them food at the same time each and every single day. So they're more accepting of humans when placed with foster families. But fostering a feral cat is no easy task. Kendra cannot take these cats from the colonies unless there are foster homes willing to commit to help these kitties gain trust with humans.
You can adopt one of these special cats or kittens. If you've already been thinking of getting a furry friend, reach out to Kendra at kckitties.com and she'll provide you with all the information you need to make this important decision.
Any help you can offer Kendra's Community Kitties will be tremendously appreciated. Not only by Kendra, but by the lucky feral felines she rescues.
And hey, maybe, just maybe, one day you'll get to hear...
Panda, say I love you!
Hey, it's Max from Arkells, and you're listening to CFRC Radio in Kingston.
Today, before I was due to come here, I was having a meal with my children. I was waiting for my taxi, and as my taxi arrived, because my phone went bing, my youngest child, sitting opposite me, very small child, she looked at me and she went, bleh, and she projectile vomited at me, the way small children do. Have you seen this? Small children, they vomit like this. They don't vomit like this. Why? Because they're too stupid to know about gravity. Vomit like this, right? And then she continued to vomit the way small children do, which is very stupidly, right? Because they get overwhelmed by what is a natural biological response, right? They go, and then they're like, and they're like, splashing in their face and choking. I have always looked at a small child when it is throwing up and thought, what are you doing? Just vomit. And then my teenage son was in the room and he looked at his sister and went, oh, mate. And I was like, no, you hold it. And then our middle child, she's quite fractured because she's the middle one. I haven't done it, the other two have done it. She's always complaining that we don't pay as much attention to her as we do to her siblings. Any middle children here who feel that way? It's a thing, right? She's always complaining, and it's completely absurd. I mean, as a parent, you care equally about all of your children. And then there was some noise, I looked down, there she was, I'm like, yes, whatever. Anyway, ridiculous. And I looked at this, and I was like, oh, vomit and tears and mayhem. This is catastrophic. Of course, I didn't say that to my children. To them, I said, you guys, my Uber's here. So I'm gonna go. And I left. Because that phrase, well, my Uber's here, it is the get out phrase of our times, right? How many people here have used that phrase just to leave a situation you didn't wanna be in anymore? Yeah, exactly. Because when you say, well, my Uber's here, what do people say? They say, okay, man, you better go. No one ever checks your phone. Just say, okay, go. It's such a great phrase. I feel like if ISIS kidnapped me and took me into some dark cave and was, I don't know what, but let's go with pummeling the shit out of me, and my phone went ping and I said, oh, my Uber's here. They'd be like, ah, Habibi, please go. So I'm delighted to be here because you're great, but it's also much better than the alternative. Anyway, recently someone said to me, well, with all that's going on in the world now, Sindhu, surely on stage you're talking more about politics. I'm not a political comic, so I said, no, why should I? And then they said, because you're a brown woman. That's very political. What? I mean, why as a brown woman can I not just care about my own shit? Why do I have to care about, well, frankly, what is your shit? You know? And also, as a brown woman, I did my homework right up top. When I moved to this country 20 odd years ago, I applied for and got a UK passport like this. And then I married a European. Hello, two for two. So for those of you who are floundering now, well, you snooze, you f***ing lose, all right? No. But it's not that I don't think about politics, and it's not that I don't worry about politics. Of course I do. When the Brexit vote happened, I called my mother. She lives in India. And I was so upset. I was crying. And I said, I don't know what's going to happen in the future, mommy, and the kids. And what about us? And my mother said, oh, just shut up. Your life could be much worse even without the Brexit, you know. And I said, how? She said, well, you could be dead, husband could marry the pretty lady, and she could be very cruel to your kids. And then I was like, first of all, mommy, that is very specific, all right? And second of all, who is the pretty lady? But I tell you what, immediately stopped thinking about politics and started thinking about my husband. I have been married for over a decade. Which means for over a decade, I have been working with this man. I have been working on this man. And Apollo, I won't lie to you. I have been manipulating the shit out of this man to make him a mildly agreeable spouse. And I'm going to die and some bitch is going to inherit that? No. It's all mine. So I went and found my husband. He was reading. And I said, hey, if I die all of a sudden, are you going to get married again? And my husband said, what are we talking about? And I was like, oh my God, you're stalling. I mean, this is a yes and no question. So I said to him, listen to me. Before you make up any more lies, let me tell you the correct answer to this question, you please memorize it. First of all, if I die all of a sudden, you mourn me every single day of the week. Second of all, there is a giant picture of me in the hall. And every time you pass the picture, you stop and you do namaste to that picture. And if the kids are around, you call them over, you gather them up, and you all cry a little bit. And then because my husband knows me very well, he said, oh yeah, fine, have you been talking to your mother? But here's the thing about being married a very long time, you get to know each other so well, right? I mean, my husband knows me well. I know my husband so well at this point that we can have a full-blown argument from start to finish, and he's not even home. You know? So, this year, I have been married 21 years. Thank you. Thank you. I know it looks like I could have been a child bride, which, where I'm from, totally possible. Anyway. I wasn't a child bride. Anyway, so... 21 years. And here's what I've learned in 21 years, that to stay married and stay happy, because it's not naturally the same thing, to stay married and stay happy, what you must do is keep your focus on what is important. Keep your focus on what is important, let everything else fall away. See, I'll explain. The other day, my husband and I were having an argument, a face-to-face one, the one where he's actually at home. So we're having an argument. And, I say argument. The fact is, after 21 years, my husband and I don't really have arguments. We have throwdowns. You know, throwdown? Like MMA level. Do you know what MMA is, sir? Yeah, marriage martial arts. Proper MMA level. No matter what the topic, my husband and I both always bring it for everything. Because we know that after 21 years and 3 kids, nobody's going anywhere. Right? We are just trying to get to the end of this somehow. And also, you should know, like I told you, when I arrived here, I got a UK passport. My husband is Scandinavian. He didn't bother. And then we were having this argument, and he was like, I don't understand why you didn't do it this way. And I said, really, what I don't understand is why you don't f*** off back where you came from. Apollo, I cannot lie to you, it felt pretty good. Oh my God, what a great phrase. I am totally on board with it now. Knock yourselves out. Such a good feeling it gives you afterwards, you know? The problem was it bothered our children a little bit. Because we were having lunch, it was Sunday. Our youngest child, she said, oh no, Mama said the F word. And I said, oh darling, you're right, I did. But you know what? When you grow up and meet the man of your dreams, so will you. And then my teenage son said something, but let me explain, ladies and gentlemen, between 45 to 85% of what this child says, I don't understand. Because he's a teenager. He just looked at me and said, why so salty, bro? And then our middle child, apart from being somewhat fractured, she's also very woke. By which I mean she doesn't understand the difference between racism and a joke about racism. So she got very upset and she said, you can't say that to Dad, that's racist. And I said, racist? Look at my face. I can't be racist. Everybody knows only white people are racist. Oh, she got angry. Ah, she stomped out of the room. And I was like, oh, come on, darling. Sorry, it was a joke. I know, you're half white. Oops. Listen, I didn't say that to my husband because I'm racist. I said that to my husband because I'm married. And anyone who's been married any length of time, 5, 7, 8, 9 minutes, it doesn't matter. You know what the most important thing is. It is to win. Yeah, if you want to stay married and stay happy, you must always be trying to win. And by the way, this is not a narrow, ego-based, selfish goal, not at all. See, when you win, you feel better about yourself. Am I right? Yeah? You feel better about yourself, you feel better about the rest of the world. You are a nicer person, you are a better spouse. You do it for the health of the unit. It is almost selfless, frankly. Always trying to find a way to win for the sake of the unit. And let me tell you, there's so many techniques. I'll give you one more, which is when the correct occasion presents itself, very casually, make sure you lie to your spouse. Okay? But the key is the correct occasion. Don't lie about lightweight rubbish like, I didn't eat the last hobnob. Nobody cares, it is a biscuit. But equally, don't swing to the other extreme and lie about really important stuff like what? Of course, no, this is your daughter. No. Lie on the correct occasions, the sweet spot. Stuff like, okay. What? Oh, honey, I booked our holiday that week. I had absolutely no idea your mother was coming. And the reason you lie like this is when you do this, you keep your spouse mildly destabilized at all times. Right? And then you have more power, higher chance of winning. Which you do for the health of the unit. There you go. Simple. Now, I know for a fact that there are married people in the audience and you're thinking, she's really funny, but we're so honest with each other, that's not how my marriage works. You're thinking that, right? Yeah. Well, the reason you think that is because you are the loser.
Hey, Kingston. It's Bahamas, and you're listening to CFRC.
This gets